Hey, it's Whoopi. As The View celebrates its 25th season, we're bringing together some of the women who have hosted the show for a special podcast series. In this episode, Sunny Hostin and Sherry Shepherd sit down for a candid conversation about their time on the show. Here's Sunny.
Sherry and I have been friends for many years. She joined The View in 2007, and for 7 years, she brought laughs to the table and her real-life experience of being a mom, actor, and comedian.
How would you pick up a man if you wanted a one-night stand? Just for sex,
the same way you do it.
How would I pick up a man just for sex? Are you out of your mind?
I want to know how, because according to surveys, you like a lot of sex, Barbara.
Today we share our experiences with the one and only Barbara Walters, discuss how this show has changed our lives, look back at Sherry's most emotional moment on The View, and of course, much more. Here's our conversation.
I am very excited to speak with you, Sherry, because you are my friend and you have been my guiding light for a long time. Most people don't know that, right? But I remember that you reached out to me when I was first getting involved with this show and gave me a lot of advice. And yes. We'll get into that, though. But how did it feel to get the call that you were an official co-host? Because this is a big show. And Barbara is like the original.
You know, Sunny, it is a big show. And Bill and Barbara had come to me a few times to have me come on the show. It started, I just was trying to get on The View to promote my sitcom that I was on, Less Than Perfect. And Bill would never book me on the show because he didn't know if I could sit on the couch and have anything to say. What? So they never booked me. They booked everybody else for my show but me. And my publicist kept calling. And it just so happened that Johnny Cochran had passed away. And Star Jones had to go to his funeral. So it was happened to be, this is why you can't give up. It happened to be around the time that I called. So he was like, if she can get on a plane and come, like now, we'll have her on the show. And I was pregnant.
Wow.
At the time. And I was on bed rest. But I asked my doctor, I said, can I go? And she was like, well, you know, you're on bed rest. And I said, look, is the baby gonna come while we're in the air? And she said, no, but you have to be careful. That's all I needed. They wheeled me in a wheelchair up to right before we were supposed to come out. And I got out of a wheelchair to sit at the table. And I made Joy laugh. And Joy liked me so much that she said, when I go out of town to do stand-up, I want you to have Sherry. So I went back and Bill called the next day and was like, can you get back on a plane to come out? So that's when they really kind of got to see what I do. And then I was there with Star, and Star said, Star Jones, I really like Sherry. So when I'm gone, call Sherry. So that's when I started doing it. And they came to my dressing room like a few times after that, and they were trying to get me to be a regular. And I was like, because it was stuff going down with Star and da da da. And I said, nope, my name is Bennett. I'm not in it.
Because, you know, it's hard to make Joy laugh.
And it's very hard to make
it's very hard to make her laugh because she's got a wicked sense of humor, right? She's very smart. And also, this show's about camaraderie, right? It's about everybody getting along. And if you have now two co-hosts saying, I like her, that's important. That's big. So I'm not surprised they were like, we want you.
I was very surprised. I was so nervous. And I just said, you know, just be you. And I think what cemented me coming on was Rosie O'Donnell got into it with Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Oh.
That fateful day.
Oh.
Because they were trying to decide between Kathy Griffin and me.
Really? And yes, I didn't know that.
Yes, the permanent co-host position was between Kathy Griffin or Sherry Shepherd. And what happened, this is how God be moving. They gave Kathy Griffin the Friday. And they gave me Thursday. So we each had a day. And all of the stuff happened on Thursday.
That's the split screen day.
That was the split screen day. Rosie got into that big fight with Elizabeth. And I remember that whole day, girl, was just tension.
Why? Just tension. Why? What do you remember about that day?
because I came on a day when I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know that there was tension between Lizzie and Rosie. Mm. Like, you know, when you're a guest, when a guest comes on, they just know about that day. Yes. I knew, though, within the Hot Topics room that there was tension. I just didn't know why. Mm. And so everybody left and I was asking the hair and makeup girls. They don't say nothing. I was
no,
asking Karen DePee and Rebecca, and they was like, none of your business.
It's a vault. It's a vault.
I'm telling you, they know all where the dead bodies are buried, and they don't tell you anything. The best hair and makeup team ever at The View.
Yes.
And right before we went on, it just was tension with Rosie and Lizzie. And I remember asking the same glam team, I said, does anybody speak in tongues? Because we got to start praying. I'm a Pentecostal girl. And they said, no, we don't speak in tongues. I said, all these black people here, nobody speaks in tongues. Mm. We get out there and start talking. I'm talking about my comedy CD, telling everybody to buy it. I'm just like, dah, dah. And then all of a sudden, it just was tension when Lizzie started talking and then Rosie said something. And I'm like, wait a minute, this ain't fun no more.
Yes. What? Yes.
And they did a split screen. Mm-hmm. And I remember trying to like just make it lighter. This one was so personal because I believe that Rosie just felt like things that had happened, Elizabeth never defended her on. And Elizabeth was fed up. Because she was like, you defend yourself because you get yourself in hot water. So you defend yourself.
You would not even look me in the face, Elizabeth, and say, no, Rosie, I can understand how people might have thought that. Why don't you take this opportunity like I'm six?
Because you are an adult and I am certainly not going to be the person for you to explain your thoughts. They're your thoughts.
So it was very, very personal between these two. It wasn't about the war. It was about you don't, you know, betrayal, loyalty, all of that stuff. Anger is never anger. Stuff. It's always something underneath.
All the stuff between anger. Sisters. Because we really are like sisters. You're like in a sorority that no one is a part of unless you are a co-host of The View.
Directing the show. Let's go to commercial. Let's go to commercial.
I need a drink of water. Let's go to commercial.
And during the commercial break, it was just that's what people don't see during the commercial breaks.
They don't.
What happens? Lizzie was going off and I was like, oh my God, the baby. Cause she was pregnant. I was like, girl, you gotta do the be calm. And then Rosie was saying to me, she goes, I like you, Sherry, because you make everybody relax. I want you
there
to
has
the
to
show.
Be someone. There has to be someone that can take the temperature down on the panel. There
and that's
has
what
to
I
be
did.
Someone. Yes.
And that's what I do. And they decided on me because so many people wanted to interview me. And I said, no, that's their family business. I'm not doing any interview. Everybody wants to fly me in. And I said, no. And I think that impressed Barbara Walters and Bill Getty. So I got the job of the call.
Did you get that call after that?
Barbara called me a few times to ask me. But this time she called. I remember when she had tried to get me and I said no. And she walked away from me. She said goodbye. And I said, oh, my God, did I make a bad decision? But then, and I didn't go to co-host for like a year. And then after that all happened, she called me again and she said, would you like to come? And I said, well, I ain't got nothing to lose. I'm going through a divorce. So yeah, I'll come. I did not know what I was walking into. Had no clue.
No one does. No one does. I mean, you warned me. You gave me some advice. But you don't really know. See, I never got that call. I kept same sort of a similar story with
you
Bill
talked
Getty.
To Barbara? Yeah.
I spoke to Barbara, but it was more Bill Getty. He kept on, you know, saying, you know, wow, you're good at this. You know, you can sort of release the tension. You're kind of a voice of reason. You know, everybody gets along with you. Everyone likes you. And I just kept on hanging around. And then just one day, my name just kind of changed on the website. Sunny joined The View. I was like, oh, I'm official now.
And that's I was so happy because
strange.
Every time you came to The View to co-host with us, you were so calm and you were so loving and you were really smart. Like you had the legal background.
Thank
so you brought a different element. And I remember I liked you so much because you were just down to earth and it was so cool having you on. So I remember when you were up for it and even said you got it, I was just like, you're perfect for The View. You're perfect. I watch you and I'll text you because I can't help. I'll be screaming at the screen and I text you, you know, you are a natural fit.
Thank you. Well, you definitely helped me. And I write about this. And when I give speeches about women supporting women, I talk about this because you called me and said, what does your package look like? What does your salary package look like? I was like, well, it looks like this. And isn't that good? And you said, oh, no.
Did you get leverage,
this?
Girl.
Yeah. Did you get offered this? How about this? This was my, you know, pay trajectory. And I had never in my life had a woman be so transparent about her pay history, about the perks that she had received, about the leverage I could use. And I'm always, you know, I've told you this a million times, but I'm always so thankful because it was sort of life-changing for me. I just sort of knew not only how to navigate the show in a sense, but I knew what to ask for. And I hadn't experienced that before.
So many times we as women, they try to keep that secret. And so mm-hmm. I believe that in order for us to be able to fight for what we deserve fairly, we have to mm-hmm. know what our counterparts are making. Yeah. And I'm a big believer because Rosie O'Donnell did it for me. And mm-hmm. I have to say, honestly, truthfully, what they were offering me was nothing about what Rosie said. She came and she said to me, this is what I'm making. This is what everybody's making. And mm-hmm. this is what you should ask for. And these are the perks I'm getting. And I was like, that's nothing.
That's how I felt. I was like, what?
Yeah, you're like, what? And because she showed me that and helped guide me, I got what I deserved. And I feel like we have to let other women know what mm-hmm. we're making if they're trying to do the same thing. That way we're on an even playing field and you know what you're supposed to be. And I've had countless women do it for me with my sitcoms and guest stars. I remember calling Viola Davis when I was starring in another show. And I was like, Viola, you don't know me, mm-hmm. but I need to know how much I'm supposed to be making and what kind of stuff am I supposed to be asking for? And she was amazing.
Amazing.
So I'm a believer and we got to support each other.
We really do. Well, I will always, remember that. And I've passed that on. I've passed that lesson on and I employ it in my life. But let me ask you this, because everyone always talks about this. I didn't see it firsthand. On your first day, apparently you said the world is flat. In a nervous moment, you're like, I know what she's going to say. What do you remember about that? Because it stuck. I didn't even see it. I never heard about it.
That day that I said, when they asked me, did I believe the earth was round or flat? And I said, I don't know.
But why was that a hot topic?
We were talking about evolution. That day was the worst day of my entire life and the best day that changed my life. I got to tell you. Failure is not, as long as you're not dead, you can get back up. And it literally changed my mm-hmm. life because Barbara looked at me in Hot Topics, because everybody knew I was a good Christian girl. I don't like to debate. I don't like to argue with my elders. I don't like to, you know, I just want to have fun. But everything that I hated doing was what I had to do with The View. It was really a life-changing experience for me being a co-host. And one day Barbara looked, they wanted to talk about evolution versus creation. And I'm a believer in creationism. Mm-hmm. And so Barbara looked in that mirror right at me and she said, I want to debate my Christian friend. And I was like, who? Huh? I don't debate. And so I was so nervous. And I think I got a touch of ADD as well, Sonny. Mm-hmm. I never sat at a table. I do sitcoms. I do stand up. Right. Like, this was the first time I'm sitting at a table talking about deep stuff.
And it's so hard. It's so hard. Look easier than it is.
Oh.
It's really hard. People are always like, I could do The View. I could do The View. Really?
Let me tell you when people say hard. That. Whenever we would have guests who came and said, oh, I could do this. They the ones that never said nothing at the table. First of all, you got four other women sitting around you. Mm-hmm. You're trying to interject your opinion. Then everybody's talking over each other. That's, you know, I think that's probably people's biggest complaint is they're like, I can't understand.
Exactly. You but only Barbara have like a minute to say anything.
And all you guys make sense. And you're live. So everything is without a net. But girl, that day, I just was so nervous because when Barbara Walters says she wants to debate you, what the hell? So I'm sitting at the table. I'm tense in my stomach. I started zoning out. I was just thinking, did I pay the cable bill? Because they don't cut my cable off. And so all I heard, literally, all I heard, earth, round, or flat. I didn't even remember saying, I don't know. So when Barbara said, take a little time to enjoy the view, I was like, woo, we got through that. And she goes, dear, the earth is round.
Oh, no.
And I said, and I know
how Barbara speaks to you. When she says something, you feel scolded.
You feel like you're 3 years old.
You do.
And I said, I know the earth is round, Barbara. And she said, well, you said you didn't know. Now, I didn't think it was a big deal until Bill O'Reilly said I should be fired with the stupid stick. Bill Maher said I was dumber than bricks. I mean, everybody was talking about me. I was the second most Google person in the nation. Bill Getty called me downstairs and he said, when you got this job, every black woman in America was happy. They say you were a breath of fresh air. Every black woman in America hates you because they said you brought black people back 100 years.
No.
Wendy Williams said I could be replaced by a potato sack. I mean, everybody was like, it was horrible. And I remember I was in the next day, I started crying. It just was so much. I didn't realize the hugeness of The View. It was global. It was in everyone's living room. This was big news. Sherry Shepherd didn't know that the earth was round or flat. Mm. And it was like I had a brain fart. And I started crying.
All women. Because
I represent all women. I represent all black women.
Yeah.
And somebody told Whoopi I was crying and she came running in and she said, look at me. And I said, I can't. You got the sunglasses on your face. And she flipped up her lid and she said, if Barbara didn't think you could do this, she wouldn't have hired you.
Yeah.
And Barbara defended me on Howard Stern. Like Barbara would go out and defend. Now she might get on you in that dressing room because she went, dear, read a book. That's what she said to me. But she defended me to everybody, and Whoopi came and hugged me, and Joy came and said, hey, kid, you know what? When you open your mouth, half the world is going to hate you, no matter what you say.
She still says that. Yep.
She still says that. And that's when I learned not to take the weight of everybody on my shoulders. And it was just a day, but it changed my life in the sense that it made me say, how defend what you know, Sherry. Mm-hmm. The things that you learned in church, can you defend it? Learn about politics. Learn about the way the government works. Learn to come back at Barbara. It changed my life. That big failure was a blessing.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
I love politics so much. I talk politics 24/7. Love it. I hated politics when I started The View.
Wow.
Because it scared me because I never voted before. So doing The View for me was the best experience of my life because I found my voice.
See, you found your voice. You found your view. It really is a life-changing experience. It has been for me, too.
And what about you?
Yeah, well, it has been. I mean, I thought that I had my voice. You know, I'm a lawyer by training. And I felt very comfortable in my views. But this is different because you're talking about things you're not supposed to talk about, even in, you know, around a table with family and friends, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to be very comfortable and you have to make sure that you can support it and stand by it no matter what. And that takes a lot of courage and bravery and strength and conviction. And I've always been really good at sticking up for other people because that's been my job. You know, advocating for victims, advocating for survivors, advocating for my family, advocating for my kids. But now I have to do it for myself. And it's changed me. It has changed me. I've sort of been able to combine passion with purpose and I'm withstand the critics. And it's life changing. And really, I think, I didn't get the chance to work with Barbara as long as you did, but just being kind of picked by Barbara and sitting with her and being scolded by her. Cause we had an interview with Bette Midler and I was seated next to Bette and I was talking to Bette and I was all excited. And she was like, I'm going to ask that question, not you. I was like, oh, but I had worked on that question.
Girl.
I said, but I worked on that question. She was like, I'm asking that question. I said, oh,
I'm going to ask you.
I was like, oh, okay. And then we were taking a picture and then We took the picture and I want to take another one. And she was like, I'm going to take a picture with her now. Like as if to say, you know, time for you to move.
You know,
she
so
knew what she
working.
Wanted. And
working
I appreciated
with Barbara
it.
Was such, and it, for 3 years I cried because Barbara was so hard on me.
Oh yeah, she was tough.
Everything.
She's a tough lady.
Mm-hmm. She was tough because if I would, you have to fight for your topics that you want to talk about at the table.
Yes.
And so there would be times she'd go, we're cut that topic. And I go, but that was the only thing. What? And Barbara said to me one time, if you don't learn, I remember it so clearly. We had John McCain on the show.
Mm-hmm.
She said, here's the questions. Joy, you're going to ask question number one. Whoopi, you're going to ask question number two. Elizabeth, number three. Mm-hmm. Sherry, number four. So I'm thinking, I'm a good girl. I follow the rules, Sonny. I'm like, we going to ask these questions in order. As soon as we sat down, Joy starts asking something about what he said. Cindy McCain got mad. Then Whoopi came in. And I was like, but wait a minute. What?
I know. That happened to me.
And you know what I used to do? I was a little girl. I pouted. So I wasn't going to ask nothing. Because nobody was playing by the rules.
No,
and so Barbara
rules.
Said to me when we were done, I remember they talked about us on everything. That was an interview where the McCain said it would never come back because Joy, what she asked. And it made national global news. But I wasn't a part of it because I didn't ask anything. And mm-hmm. Barbara said after the show was over, she said, why didn't you ask your question? And I said, because nobody would let me. You said I was supposed to ask question number five. And then Joy said her. And she said, I don't want to hear it. If you don't learn to speak up, you will get eaten up.
Yep.
By me. And when she scolded me in my dressing room after I cried, I learned to speak up. She helped me to not take no for an answer because her famous saying was, who cares in Wyoming when you're trying to get a topic out? Who cares in Wyoming? Meaning get out of New York and Chicago and LA, the big cities, and go to the heart of what people really care about. Mm-hmm. And you had to be able to defend why people would care about that topic in Wyoming. And no means nothing to me now. Somebody says no to me, I'm like, oh, you said that to the wrong person. She taught me how to fight for what I believe in and how to stand and defend it.
She was definitely, she was like a wealth of information and advice. I didn't get to work with her that many times, but I got the chance to work with her a couple times as a guest host, and she was so just interesting and, you know, tough, but generous with her advice, you know? And one thing that stuck with me, and I use it every single time, there was a guest that was going to be on, and I was uncomfortable a little bit. I thought the person was going to be an agitator. And she said, how you doing? I said, oh, I'm okay. I'm just a little concerned about this question. And she said, this is our house. So always remember when someone comes to the table, you treat them as if, see, you're nodding your head, right? You treat them as if you would a guest in your home. They're a guest in your home. And it sort of just put me at ease thinking, okay, well then, you know, I'll treat this person as a guest in the home. I'll take the high road because sometimes, you know, you feel like not taking the high road and you feel like going, you know, down to the earth's crust, right? Like really go in there. And when people attack my co-hosts, you know, every now and then it gets me, but I always remember that advice that, you know, that's our home. That table is our dining room table. And I try to keep it classy and elegant the way I think
Barbara did. This is where you and I are a little bit on different paths. I'm a Chicago girl through and through.
See, I'm from the Bronx.
Well, then you should. I like how you go. I love how you go. I keep it classy.
I remember
because Barbara would say that to me. This is a guest. In our home. And so sometimes people came on and I'm like, you a guest in this house. This ain't your house. So I remember Ann Coulter came on the show and she had written some crazy book and Barbara was reading a chapter and she said something that I thought was so snippy to Barbara. And I was like, you know, when I started doing this, I was like, oh, hell no.
I know.
You think you're going to talk to my mama like that?
I know.
See, I almost cursed. I was like, I'll beat you. You what? and have to check her. Like, you are coming into our home. You don't tell her and make and talk to her like this. This is Barbara Walters. You just became Ann Coulter.
Yeah.
You better check yourself. I was so mad. And I said, I need to keep my job. I don't want to be going off too hard. But I, you know, I didn't like the way she had talked to Barbara.
I get like that.
Barbara looked at me and she was like, just control yourself. I was like, I ain't going to get a thank you or nothing.
No, no. I get like that with Joy. I get very, I don't know. I get sort of like, you know, Auntie Joy. I don't know. It's just something because, you know how Joy is. Like, you can insult her. She won't even remember it the next day. Like, she's so forgiving and she's kind of usually just okay with it. I'm the one that gets infuriated by it. I'm just infuriated. Joy. Like, Omarosa ticked me off. This Kim Klasick ticked me off. I get a visceral reaction to it. And
I love Joy.
And I
want to
go pretty low.
Joy never remembers anything.
Nothing.
I love Joy. We could shut down a restaurant just talking. And all I love night. Joy because Joy is a comedian. And we clashed very quickly and made up because we're both comics. So trying to find that groove of how we fit in. And I will never forget Joy. You know, you say, take a little time to enjoy the view. And I would always go, I love you, Jeffrey. And one time, I guess I stepped on one too many. You know, I know now to how to lob a joke to Joy and she'll hit it over and get her laugh. That's what Joy, you know, she cared about. Let me get this laugh. And I guess I stepped on one too many of her jokes.
No,
so I was like, love you, Jeffrey. And all of a sudden, my face, I was like, I love you. Wait a minute, what? Because Joy said to me, she went, you stepping on my blanking jokes. Stop that. And I was like, wait a minute. What?
Yeah.
And we had to talk about that because she was. And then I had to learn how to, you know, when Joy has her jokes, you fall back because she got something to say. And it was that little. And after that, we was like the best of friends.
Yes. Because it's like a game of volleyball, right?
It's like a game of volleyball.
You can't hold the ball too long. You can't do it. You got to pass the ball. I had to learn that too.
This is Sunny Hostin. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/view. Just go to Indeed.com/view right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/view. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Shopify. Ready to make the smartest choice for your business? Say hello to Shopify, the global commerce platform that makes selling a breeze. Whether you're starting your online shop, opening your first physical store, or hitting a million orders, Shopify is your growth partner. Sell everywhere with Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. Turn browsers into buyers with Shopify's best converting checkout, 36% better than other platforms. Effortlessly sell more with Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Did you know Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and supports global brands like Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen? Join millions of successful entrepreneurs across 175 countries backed by Shopify's extensive support and help resources. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Start your success story today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/view. Put it all in lowercase. Go to shopify.com/view now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify.com/view.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Let me ask you this. Proudest moment on the show.
When Barack Obama became president and I got to speak my mind, I broke down crying because I looked at my son Jeffrey and I said, "You got a shot."
People of color, we've always had these limitations on us. And I remember somebody in my family said one time when I said, "I want to be a comic and an actor." They said, "No, go get a job at the post office. They don't let people like us do that."
And when I saw President Barack Obama, a black man with the same kind of hair as my son, mm-hmm. the same skin color, I said, "Jeffrey, you got a shot. Mm-hmm. You can do it."
To look at my son and say, "No limitations yeah. on
it's,
you."
It's extraordinary.
It is an extraordinary day for me.
And I just was so emotional. I couldn't even yeah. hold it together. I was like, "I'm sorry, Barbara. I'm sorry." I couldn't
it
stop
meant
crying.
Something. Yeah, it meant something. I cried when Kamala became the vice president. I did. Ugly cry in my living room. It was. That's true. I have another question for you, because I remember watching this one, too. You were there when Joy and Whoopi walked off when Bill O'Reilly was talking all kind of mess. Now, you know, I worked with Bill over at Fox, so I know he's provocative and believes in some of the stuff that he says, actually. But what was that like? Because like you said, I've been on the show when stuff has happened, and sometimes you're like a deer caught in headlights. And sometimes you're just like, "What is going on today?"
I think that is the beauty of doing the show live. Because yes. you are out there with no net. You never know what's going to happen.
No.
You know, celebrities will come on and then something will happen. Mm-hmm. And Bill O'Reilly, he's a little agitator. And
yes,
so
he is.
He was talking about the Muslims. And mm-hmm. Just, I guess, there may have been some disparaging things that he said. Mm-hmm. And Joy got mad. She yeah. got really angry. Yeah. And she walked
she's
off
power
the
to
set.
The people. She's
Joy is very power to the people.
Always.
She got up and walked off the set. Then Whoopi got mad and she walked off the set. And me and Elizabeth were looking at each other like, what we supposed to do? And I was like, "I'm not walking off the set. I'm the last one hired." Because you know what they say about the last one hired?
Yes.
First one fired. I said, "I'm a single," and I'm whispering all this. "I'm a single mom. I got a son. I pay bills. I'm not walking off the set." And then Barbara was trying to maintain control, and literally Lizzie and I were like deer in headlights, because you don't walk off a live show. Who
yes.
does that?
Yes.
I was in such awe and horror at the same time.
I know.
And I said,
know.
They are literally yeah. walking off the set. And I yeah. say on my, I do stand up and I talk about that. And I said, if you guys rewind that and play it really slowly, you'll hear me go, "Whoopi, they not gonna pay you for this show."
That's the look on my face many times. A combined look of horror and respect, too. Because it's like, okay.
Especially, Sunny, if you're seeing two co-hosts go at it. Like, I've seen two. And you're like, "What the hell is going on?" Like, you're just smiling. What the hell is going on?
Okay. I usually just hide my face in my big cup. I'm like, okay.
Or the cards.
Yeah.
The little blue cards.
The cards. The cards are good, too. When you got the cards, that's good, too.
When I tell you, Barbara was livid. Oh, because we always do, we call them post-mortem shows, and we always would talk about what happened at the end of the show and yes. what we got to do for the next day. Mm-hmm. And boy, she was hot. And Joy was like, "And I'll do it again."
Oh, no.
Like, "I'll do it again, too." And I'm like, "I'm not going to do it."
That sounds
I'm still a good
like
girl. Them. I play by the rules. That was really.
I'm a rules girl, too. I'm a rules girl. If I break the rules, you know I'm in a place. if I break the rules.
I'm such a rules girl. I'm like, I'm gonna get caught. I don't want you to do that. But I learned to take a lot of risks from being on the show and watching everybody.
Now, you I remember a show that I watched, and you were on this machine where you had to like get on the machine. You were up and down the machine. I've seen you do some hilarious things on the show. I mean, they made me get on roller coasters. I don't like amusement parks. I'm very risk averse. I don't want to bungee jump. I don't want to jump out of planes. I don't want to do anything that's going to risk my life. I like just sitting on a beach, drinking some rosé, having some champagne, reading a book. That's my idea of fun. The views, the idea of fun is very different. So what kind of crazy stuff have they made you do that has been kind of out of your comfort zone? Because you look like you were having fun on those machines and all that kind of stuff.
You know, I was always the girl that they knew, the producers knew, go to Sherry. Sherry's willing to try anything. I literally love to have fun and try those things. So I've been in helicopters. I remember they had me dance with the New York Knicks girls. And I didn't know my tank top came up, so my belly was hanging out the whole time. I was trying to be cute. I've tried exercise machines. I have role played and pretended like I was the receptionist. I mean, literally, I pretended like I was a receptionist taking calls. And one lady called, and she was like, I just want to complain about that co-host, Sherry Shepherd. She is as dumb as a rock. And I'm sitting here going, what do I say? Jeez, what do I say? I was like, well, we're going to give you a free coffee mug. How's that sound? So I just remember those times of
so you enjoy it.
I enjoy it. I would enjoy those segments because I like to have fun. And I think with The View, you have to find your groove and you have to find the lane that you swim in. And for 3 years, it was so hard for me to figure out because I was not Star Jones. You know, I wasn't this legal analyst like you. But I knew what my core traits were, and I like to laugh, and I like to make people feel better and smile. Right. So for me, leading with those traits, whatever I could do, the funny exercise segments or, you know, stepping out of The View, if it was going to make people feel better or laugh, then I knew I wanted to do that. Like so that's where I was. And I was just the regular home girl who was the fish out of water. I sang on top of a piano one time. You know, any singing stuff. I just wanted to try new things to encourage people to try new things.
No, so the show just likes to terrorize me, you know, like have scary clowns jump out at me. That's what they enjoy having me do, especially Brian Tedda. On to other things. So your son, Jeffrey, was 2, which I cannot believe, was 2 years old when you joined the show. He's 16. Yeah. Which is kind of crazy. We're both raising teenage sons now because mine is 18.
Yeah.
How is he doing? And how has this last year been? Because, I mean, lockdown and quarantine, pandemic, it's not easy with teenagers in the house.
Girl, when Jeffrey started, one thing you had, you know, Barbara Walters had that big dressing room in the corner. Mm-hmm. You were never to go in her dressing room unless you were invited. And Jeffrey was 2 at the time. He ran into Barbara Walters' dressing room and I stopped. I like skidded to a stop because I wasn't allowed in there. And Barbara looked at him and she said, yes, dear. And he said, Barbara, give me a kiss.
Oh.
When I tell you, I said, you have secured my job for the next 4 years, Jeffrey.
Wow.
She loved my son. He was 2 years old. He's 16. He sounds like Barry White. He's taller than me. He used to think I was so pretty and, you know, mommy, I love you. Now he's like, why are you in my room? Get out. What are you, you know, like we're in a bad marriage. Literally this whole pandemic. He walks in and he's like, you're still here. And I'm like, yeah, cause I pay all the bills.
Exactly.
It's my house.
Exactly. It's my house.
So he is, but I love him. He's going through his hormonal things. He wants to move back to New York and find a girlfriend. And, but I get scared, Sonny, because all of the things that have happened now where police are brutally murdering people and people that look like my son every day, I pray over my son, but every day I'm scared because trying to raise a child who has unique challenges, he said, I don't have special needs, unique challenges. And I know that when Jeffrey talks, he flaps his hands. And I know he gets excited. And I know he might fall on the ground and laugh uncontrollably. And to know that police officers, that's why Elijah McClain hurt my heart so bad.
Oh, yes.
The whole incident. Because to know that you have officers that may not understand that Jeffrey's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. He's still, if you look at him, you know he's a little boy. Even though he looks like a big grown man, he's got kind eyes. And mm-hmm. and it scares me to know that some people won't go beyond his skin color. I get terrified when he wants to go ride his bike by himself. And I try not to transfer that fear on my son, but he's all I got. And so this, all of the climate has been really like heartbreaking as a mother raising a black son. And you know this because you have a black son
who's like
off to college.
Yeah.
So he's not even going to be in your house.
You just want to protect them always. And it seems to be harder and harder to do. And that's the rub, right?
It's harder and harder to do. And it's harder to explain to this boy here about the nuances of people. Because he was at age where he used to love hugging firemen and police officers and all of that. And just explain to Jeffrey, you're so big now.
You're big.
You know, and I don't know how to explain to Jeffrey if an adult confronts you and says, why are you walking around in this neighborhood?
Yeah.
What are you doing here? Because he knows to listen to adults. I don't know how to explain that to him if somebody, you know, gets in his face.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I don't know how to equip my son for.
Yeah.
You know, if the police stop him, he knows to put his hands on the steering wheel if he's ever with friends. But if they're shouting things at him, he does it. That's too much. So I'm always praying on, Lord, just protect my child, because I don't know what to do. And I'm praying it gets better.
And every situation is different. So you can never equip them for every situation because you can't think about every situation. So I too am praying, you know,
we're praying together, girl.
We are praying. Now you say, you said, Whoopi tried to give you some dating advice and you didn't take it. You got married anyway. So tell me about that. And, are you dating now? Cause I think you are dating a little bit.
Whoopi has always, she gives me advice. I love
she
her.
Wrote a book about like dating. She wrote a book about dating.
She wrote a book about dating. And I love Whoopi Goldberg. And then sometimes I'm just like, oh man, with marriage, she told me, she said, Sherry, wait. She said, there's no rush. Don't rush. Just wait, because when you in the waiting is when you find out things, more things come to you. And I was just like, I am 43 years old. If I don't get married now, I'm not going to never have nobody. That said that 11 years ago. And now I'm so content being single. But she said that, and she didn't come to my wedding. And she was just, and I was just like, oh man. But Whoopi loved me through it. When I went through the divorce, she was right there to hug me, to give me advice. I still call Whoopi about advice about, you know, Jeffrey. I call Whoopi about career advice all the time. And I told Whoopi, I said, I wish I would have listened to you. And she said, that's all right. You will.
And she didn't say, I told you so.
She didn't say, I told you so. It's that look that Whoopi give you like, I told you so.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love that she's always just looked out for me. And I feel very blessed that I'm still able to call her and say, I'm about to make a career move. Can you help me with this? Or, you know, I'll just call her. Like I text you and go, woo, that was the day, girl.
Yep.
That was a day, Carrie.
Yeah.
I like text you too. Ooh, son. Ooh, girl. That was the day.
Sometimes I just send you an emoji back.
You send me an emoji. I send Whoopi emojis of, I'm not even going to say what I send her emojis of.
No.
It's legal.
It is now time for my new view, and I thank you so much for allowing me in your homes for the last 7 years, and I promise I will see you again real soon.
This is a tough question because it's all happened to us at one point or another.
Yeah.
In 2014, the executives in charge at the time, I think they made it a mistake, but they wanted the show to go in another direction. And in this business, that's what they say, right? They're like, we're going in another direction.
That means you fired.
It does. It's like, we've chosen not to renew your contract, but hey, we're going in another direction. You know, in the law, they're just like, you know, you're fired. Yep. Right? So they went in another direction. They didn't renew your contract. What did that feel like to you? Because The View does become like a family. Like all of a sudden, you tossed out the family. Like how does that feel? I mean, it's going to happen to me too one of these days. So you got to prepare me for it.
Because all good things come to an end. Mm-hmm. It's you know, and also there's an evolution of who you are, and you will at some point. Right now, The View is fulfilling you, but at some point, you will want to do something different or something mm-hmm. more. Or go in a different direction. And it's okay. But when people tell you you're no longer welcome, that does hurt. So yeah. When they were, and it was so funny because I was with Jenny McCarthy in mm-hmm. the dressing room and they was calling everybody downstairs. When I say on that speakerphone, Bill Getty, we need to see you. Dusty, you know, like they were calling everybody, Jenny McCarthy, please come downstairs. So I was like, what? We didn't know what was going on.
Bloodbath.
Mm-hmm. It was just like everybody. was being called. And so Jenny and I were in the room and they called Jenny. And I remember she came upstairs and she was devastated. Mm. And I said, oh, girl. And they never called me. My manager called me and she said, Sherry, they're not going to renew your contract. It was so shocking to me, Sonny, because we were in negotiations. And I was 7 years. Negotiations for the next 3 or 4 years.
Wow.
And I, at the time I was starting to go through the divorce, I just put him out the house and I was like, this is going to be expensive. I'm going to need some money. So this is great. I got security. But the other side of me, I felt God had been telling me to leave anyway, cause it was time to do something different, but I was just like, nope, it's stable. I'm staying. So when my manager said they weren't renewing my contract, I remember sitting in my dressing room and I went, I can't come back. But this is my family. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
And it was like God was talking to me because I'm very spiritual. Mm-hmm. And I felt God saying, I'm going to take care of you. You just got to trust me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and God said, do you trust me? And I was like, no, I really don't. This is a good gig.
At this very moment?
At this very moment, absolutely not. And he says, do you have a little trust? And I said, I got a little bit of faith by the skin of my teeth. He said, that's all I need. And I had to go downstairs. I hugged Jenny. And I went downstairs because, you know, the producers are like family.
They are.
What I love about the producers of The View, they are the unspoken heroes because they get those shows together. They brief you. Mm-hmm. They try to make it as easy as possible for you. Yep. And they're your sounding board when things are going crazy. And they were really like my family. We did stuff together. Even when I come to New York now, we go to dinner, every single producer. And when I told them that I wasn't coming back, they cried.
Oh, I'm like, sure they did.
It made me cry. And I still miss them because they were like family. So
it's such a great team.
It was such a great team. I mean, we rejoice with each other. I've been through baby showers and heartache and miscarriages. And they were with me through my dating stuff and divorces. And I cried on folks' arms and shoulders. And to know that I would not be walking through those hallways again, it really did something. I like doing hot topics. I like going back and forth. I like the guests. I love doing The View. So once I got over that and I said, well, I guess it's just, it's a new journey. And you can't be afraid of when one door closes, because immediately I booked a show on Broadway, Cinderella, playing the evil stepmother.
That's right.
Two weeks later. And then I booked a film with Will Packer and Kevin Hart. Called Think Like a Man. And then I just started working as an actress and my career took off as an actress. And I've never looked back, but I miss everybody. I miss you. I miss Whoopi. Aww. I miss Joy. I miss the producers. I still talk to Bill Getty. I do too.
I talk to Bill.
I talk to Bill all the time. I'm like, Bill, did you see what I did? Look at my comedy show. We're still supposed to have dinner. And I'm so close to everybody at The View. It's a part. It will always be a part of you and you can never get away from it ever.
Yeah.
Did you have good memories?
Did you ever question like, what did I do something wrong? Could I have done this better, that better?
Yeah. I felt like, that's insecurity. I felt like, well, maybe I just didn't give enough of the politics, or maybe I was too silly. Maybe I, just didn't fit what they needed. But then I had to go, no, I've been here 7 years.
Yeah,
I've been here seven years. And I knew what my lane was, and I knew what I contributed, and I knew what I brought to The View.
Yeah.
And it just was my experience. I can't speak for anybody else, but doing The View and being a co-host was one of the best experiences of my life. Like I said, I had some of the worst days, but they always changed my life. And I would not be who I am if I had not been a co-host on The View.
Right, right. It's life changing. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Thank you.
I love you.
I love you too. Thank you.
Next week on Behind the Table, Sarah Haynes and Lisa Ling have a conversation about their time on The View. Here's a sneak peek.
An agent called me and said, Barbara Walters Show, The View, is looking to fill the seat of the young co-host. Would you be interested? And quite honestly, Sarah, I had never done live TV in front of an audience before. So I said yes, because Barbara Walters was attached, but I had no idea really what I was getting myself into.
More next week.
Behind the Table is produced by Nathan Getty and Summer Shake. Executive produced by Brian Tetta. Booking was overseen by Todd Polks. The executive producer of ABC Audio is Liz Alessi. Special thanks to Josh Cohan, Brenda Salinas Baker, Trevor Hastings, David Toledo, Elizabeth Russo, Lori Hogan, Stacia Dushishku, Molly Kessler, and Ashley Havens.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.